live from WGBB 1240 on your dial, Long Island's oldest radio station. It's time for
Listen Up. Jesus is on the air. Wow. Hey, Tony, we're in trouble today. Jesus has got to come through.
Oh, he will. Always does.
Are you sure? You sure?
Never lets us down, John.
Okay, we're going to listen to Al sing and let Trevor relax.
And this song was written by Paul Val and was written especially for Listen Up, Jesus is on the Air, and sung by our buddy Al Barbarino.
Working or at leisure, Jesus wants to show the way. If we take the time to ask him, he will guide us through the day. Let's be thankful for Lord Jesus when we want to find our way. Let's remember that he loves us, and let's thank him every day. When the task seems way beyond us and our heart is filled with fear, turn it over to sweet Jesus. Watch your worries disappear. Let's be thankful for Lord Jesus when we want to find our way. Let's remember that he loves us, and let's thank him.
Hey, Tony, I'd like to talk to you about something.
Speak, John.
We've been talking about getting a live audience, you know, and that would help us stay awake and alive. But I was looking around this studio. You know, Trevor, I got to talk to you. We can knock out these walls, and we can put in chairs, and that would be great. We could have easily 50 people here, you know. Wouldn't that be fun?
What do you say?
Well, we'd like to know from the people who are listening. Hey, any of you out there interested in coming to see Jesus on the Air? Can you imagine that? Wouldn't that be fun?
A live audience would be terrific. We have a sample live audience today.
We have our first audience here. Yeah. We have two men here today.
That's part of our audience.
And they're not walking towards us yet, but they will before the time's up, I'm sure.
And we're experimenting with the live audience. This was John Palmer's idea, our executive producer.
I take the blame. I take the blame again.
Blame Johnny Palmer, people.
And we mentioned, just for the people who are listening, that we're in trouble today. Lori is lost. She's missing in action, but she's coming. We know that. Lori Mangano is one of our guests. And today we're going to deal with women of integrity. You know? Are there really such women? Women who have a lot of integrity? What do you think, Tony? Should I get killed now by the audience?
No, I think you're going to find out that women are an intricate part of our religion. They're an intricate part of our church.
I got news for you. 75% of the people who attend church are women. The men don't come. So we need women of integrity to stand up and bring the husbands, the sons, to Jesus. That's what we need.
Absolutely. And Palmer, by the way, you did it again, buddy.
What'd I do?
You spoke over my friend Al Barbarino's music. We couldn't listen to him. We couldn't hear him. We're sorry, Al, but we'll make it up next week.
I'm not sorry, Al. That's the way it goes. You know, you put your music on our show, you takes your chances. It's the way it is. And we have one of our guests here today. She's been here before, Rose Malfetto. And Rose, suppose you tell us a little bit about you and what you think women of integrity are all about.
I am a social worker, and I also have a ministry called Modeling Christ for young girls and for boys. But it's a program to help our youth really have a relationship with Jesus Christ and to know their value. I mean, I see in the field that there are so many kids that, you know, really trying to find out who they are. But sometimes, you know, when you're affirmed by someone that loves you, such as Jesus, you know, I think that it really is a message that they need to hear today. So women of integrity, we need that too. So women of integrity, I believe it's women who have a passion to serve God. Just like the women in the Bible, you know, the women like Ruth and Esther, you know, who pursued the king. So women of integrity are the women that have a heart after God and really understand that there's a place for them in the church.
They live up to the values that Jesus taught. You know, many times in prayer, people will say, well, Jesus will understand. God will understand. And my response is, God doesn't have to understand anything. Mm-hmm. Whatever you do with your life, you have to understand it's his bat, it's his ball, and it's his playing field, and the rules haven't changed.
No, but also, woman did play an important role in the life of Jesus with Mary Magdalene.
Yes.
She was the first one he appeared to. And
yes,
the three women that went to the cave to take care of his body, and the Blessed Mother. Women are important. And they play an important role in our lives and in our religion.
And Mother Teresa said, if Mary didn't say yes, no Jesus.
Yes, and I think that for women, you know, being a counselor, I think for women, there's a lot of brokenness and there's a lot of pain, but I think even Mary Magdalene represents for us, you know, with the alabaster box and how she anointed, you know, her master's feet because she found an affirmation of love. She found who she was in him, that she didn't have to act on behaviors anymore to look for this. And because we see a lot of, you know, especially working with teens, it might be promiscuous behavior. And we might say, okay, this kid is just, you know, maybe she's just sinning. But, you know, a lot of times they are looking for affirmation. But when you find the master, when you find, you know, your king, you find it, you know, your savior, you don't have to look anymore. So
and
go ahead,
John. I'm sorry.
No.
Oh, thank you.
Maybe I'll talk.
And Jesus knew that Mary Magdalene was coming from the heart.
Yeah. Yes.
And he read into her heart.
Right.
And that's probably why she was the first one to be chosen for him to appear to.
And I think for women who maybe have been divorced, or women who maybe never been married, or women who have gone through some trauma,
or women who have had abortions,
or women who have just, you know, had a lot of issues, you know, psychological issues, and you know, sometimes we need to peel those layers and to look at, you know, how do we bring this person back to value? You know, how do we bring this person back to a sense of that they have worth, and there's healing. And Jesus truly is the real healer. The counselors are only an instrument, but Jesus is truly the healer.
Mm. Yes, he is. And he becomes a very gentle visitor to our hearts.
Yes.
And to our souls. And we're going to get the song that Lori sang and recorded. Since she's not here, she's going to be here on the show through her record. Gentle Visitor, Jesus.
But she will be here, by the way. She's on the way.
Okay. Number two. All right. Where are you, Lori? Don't tell me you got lost musically, too.
Well, at least we can talk about it. The knock on the door is a knock on your heart, you know.
Oh, absolutely.
For Jesus.
Yes. Right. Yes.
And, now, is he knocking at anybody's heart today? Is he looking for
Let him in. Let him be your gentle visitor. She made it.
He does not knock or ring. He stands outside so patiently, not selling anything. He waits out in the coldest night. He'll never step inside till you and with your heart open wide. Jesus, how long you waited. Jesus, I wish I knew. Jesus, I left you standing. Demands at all. You never have to answer him, yet he can hear you call. He waits for you to turn the knob and then unlock the door. And like a true and loyal friend, he'll wait forever.
John, this song is so appropriate because tomorrow is Good Shepherd, and Jesus makes it very clear to us in the readings that we can find whatever we're looking for through a personal relationship with him, and he wants us to have that personal relationship. Isn't that our motto? Isn't that our mission statement, that Jesus wants to be involved in every part of our lives?
And you know, it's not new. That's been since the beginning of time. God wants to be in relationship with us. But Pope Paul VI, Pope John Paul II, and Pope Benedict have all said, unless women, men, children who are Catholic have that personal relationship, they'll never understand what their religion is all about.
And Jesus is just waiting there for us, waiting for us to begin to start that personal relationship with him. So
how did you receive your gentle visitor? How did he come to you, Rose?
I would say it was when I was 20. I was about 20 years old. I won't say how long ago that was, but I was 20 years old, and I actually was invited to a charismatic prayer group, and there I saw all these people that really like loved Jesus in a much different way than just our, you know, liturgical kind of regular, you know, Sunday Mass. And at first I thought, well, everybody just seemed like they were happy, and they had a sense of this overwhelming love from Jesus. And I just kept going to the meetings a little bit more. And then I myself went through the Spirit of Life seminar, and I accepted Jesus Christ as, you know, in a more personal way. And it has been a wonderful experience since then. He does change and enhance your life.
Does he talk to you?
Yes.
How? Because that's a question that a lot of people ask me. They say, John, you listen and you pray and you say God talks to you, but I listen and I pray, but he doesn't talk to me. And my answer is, he is talking to you. Maybe not the way he talks to me, but he'll talk to you in your best personal way. How about with you, Rose? How does he
speak to me? I mean, I'm not saying that I've heard, you know, audible voices, but... I hope not.
Well, that's not impossible, you know.
But if you really believe, I think you have to have the faith to believe that God does want to have that relationship with you, and he will speak to you. If you cry out to him, he will answer. And I will tell you, this is a very amazing, she may be listening today, I'm not sure, but I have just met a new friend, Dr. Carlson, who I highly just really respect. And I was driving to my office in Huntington, where we both have an office in Huntington. I was driving to my office and I said out loud, "Dear God, I really need an answer on this and I really want to hear from you." Well, I go into my office and I hear this gentle knock, we're talking about gentle knock, on my door. And there is Dr. Carlson handing me this book. I can't remember the title, but it was something, Hearing from God. I open up the page, and there it was, the exact message I needed for that day. So God speaks to us either through song, or he can speak to us through the Bible. He can speak to us through a friend. He can speak to us through, you know, he can speak to you. You just have to ask him, and he will definitely speak to you, because God is no respecter of persons. So if he's going to speak to me, he's going to speak to you. He loves us equally. But we just have to be opened to hear him and how he will. We have to be open to hear his voice. And sometimes he does speak to us, and then we don't want to hear from him because, oh, no, I don't want to do that. No, no, Lord, I can't forgive that person. You want me to forgive that person? I can't forgive that person. But so listening is, you know, is really trying to open your heart to him and to hear. But you have to be open. Your eyes have to be open all the time to hear from God, all the time. You know,
and he does touch you.
John, let's welcome Lori.
I'm not welcoming her. Lori, I'm not welcoming her. She forgot us. Turn the microphone around. Turn the mic. That's
welcome.
The way it goes, Lori.
I just have to say that my friend Rose always talks to me right directly to my heart because I hear you talking about listening to God. Well, something just happened to me. I'm here today possibly with a broken hand.
Oh.
And
You broke that on purpose so you could have an excuse.
No, and what happened was I broke my hand. I have a horse.
And this is Lori Mangano, everybody.
Yes, and I love my horse. And I was down visiting him, and I was grooming him, and he turned his head a certain way where it kind of bent my finger over. It hurt, but I didn't think much of it. But I have had a couple of broken bones from my horse. But anyway, and it's not because he's bad. It's just, you know, this is life, and they're big, huge animals, and you sometimes get hurt. But I was just at a retreat yesterday, Marian Day anniversary, 94th anniversary of Our Lady of Fatima. I was singing there with my brother. And I was speaking to a person early in the morning, and I said to them, you know, is God trying to tell me something, that my horse is going to kill me and that I should sell my horse? But I really love my horse.
Maybe he's telling you to train the horse better.
No, exactly. So I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, is this what you want me to do? Do you really want me to sell my horse? And I had a conversation with him about it, but I said, you know that I'm so dense, and if you, that's what you want me to do, I need for you to speak very clearly to me. So we sing the concert. At the end of the concert, I'm by the CD table where they're selling CDs. A woman comes up to me, who I've never met. She hands me a gift. It's a scarf, and on the scarf it says, God is good all the time. And she said, I bought this for you because I know you and your brother say this all the time. I said, really? That is so nice of you, so nice of you. I said, where did you find this? She goes, Princeton, New Jersey. Princeton is the name of my horse. So I felt that God was saying, Lori, I bought you your horse because I'm good. And that's why, because I'm good. Not because you deserved him, not because of any reason other than I'm good. And I wanted you to have him. So I sincerely took that. My brother was like, Lori, how clear does he need to speak to you? So I believe God does speak to us. And that was just one of the many ways he does.
Yeah. Tell us a bit about the concert yesterday and what you did. You were with the Blue Army?
We were at the Blue Army Shrine, yes. It's beautiful there. Beautiful, beautiful.
People who may not know about it.
Oh, it's in Washington, New Jersey. And every 13th of the month, they have a procession. a mass, and it's a whole beautiful day. I mean, the shrine itself is beautiful, rolling hills. I had no idea that Washington, New Jersey was that pretty. And they keep it so meticulous. And we sang a concert, and every 13th of the month, they have another speaker or a singer or some wonderfully speaking priest. And it was just a magnificent day, and you see all the little children dressed up in white, and they crown Mary, and I love at the end they sing a farewell to Our Lady, and everyone has a white hanky, and they wave the white hanky. I said, the Blessed Mother must be so happy about that, you know?
You know, really? God does do some funny things. Right. Last summer, you had a concert out at Jones Beach.
Yes.
Remember the lightning?
Oh,
I remember the clouds all around us, right?
It never really rained on us.
I didn't want to go there that night because I was not in such a hot mood, right? But I went out anyway. I said, all right, it's better than sitting moping around the house.
Right.
And I'm out at your concert, and I said, what am I doing here? I know Charles and Lori. I've heard their music, and I love them and everything else. And I'm walking around, and two women come up to me because I was really feeling kind of low. And they came up and they said, oh, Dr. Palmer. And I said, yeah. You prayed over me several months ago. I said, I did. Wow. And she said, yeah. And I told you I had breast cancer and I had ovarian cancer. And I was going to have two major surgeries. Mm. And in your prayer, you said, Jesus is saying, you don't have to worry. You're not going to have surgery. And I said, I said that. And she said, yeah. I said, what happened? I went back to the doctor, and the cancers were gone.
Wow.
And I wouldn't have heard that if I wasn't out there feeling blue and sorry for myself and listening to your music, and then I got that word. He spoke to me that way.
Right.
Isn't that special the way he does it?
Right.
You know? And everybody gets those kind of experiences. You've had them, Tony.
Oh, we've all had them.
I know.
We've all had experiences, and I've come to the conclusion that Jesus is always with me, never lets me down.
Absolutely.
Never lets me down.
When these things happen where you feel God speaking to you, it's such a reminder that he is constantly aware of everything we think, everything we feel. Before I left the house to come, I was sharing this with two people at my house. And one person said, you mean to tell me you got out of that don't sell my horse? And the other person said, listen to what's in your heart. Forget God and this and that. Listen to what's in your heart. Is you love your horse? And I said, yes. They go, well, then that's all you listen to. And I said, no, because sometimes God is asking us to do more than what our heart desires, you know. And of course, I come in here, and that's exactly what Rose is saying to the audience and to each all of you about listening to God and how God speaks to us. So I know
she's getting confirmations everywhere.
Exactly.
And I just would like to say something, too, especially because it's Women of Integrity and about maybe women who are listening today. I felt on my heart to speak to women and send out a message to women who maybe are struggling with something today. I encourage them to find a friend that loves Christ. Mm-hmm. Because I wanted to say today that Lori and I met, we're not going to say how many years ago, but we did meet years ago. But we have been truly good and really close friends, and really because of the relationship that we have with Jesus Christ.
That's it, right?
And I will tell you, even when I'm counseling teens, and I would tell teens also, your friends have to be the kind of friends that want the best for you, that want to encourage you. And Women of Integrity, that's what they do for one another.
Right.
When Lori sees me do something, or I'm speaking, or I'm counseling, she's always encouraging, she's always there wanting me to be the best, and vice versa.
Yeah.
You know, and there's no jealousy, no competition, nothing. You know, when I see her singing up there, I'm like, oh, that's my friend singing, because we are truly in love with each other as sisters of Christ.
Right.
You know, and it's not about competition.
And that's true friendship,
and
isn't
that's
it?
True friendship.
And true love.
But women need that.
Yes.
And we will tell each other when, you know, I think maybe you're being too hard on this person or too hard. You have to understand where they're coming from. Or, you know, we advise each other.
Yeah.
You know, and we counsel, like the scripture said, counsel one another with loving criticism.
Right.
Haven't we done that with each other?
Yes, especially when my mascara is here.
Well, that's what women do.
She may tell me that after the show. But
You know, I don't know how to tell you this. I have the same problem with mascara. It gives me such a problem.
Don't I tell you? Didn't I fix your collar today? Did I mother you?
But it's been. But I would like to say too, because it's through it all. It's through, you know, through things and all the things that you go through that a friend will walk by you and stay with you, whether, you know, whatever it is. They don't leave you because you're sick. They don't leave you because you became successful. They don't leave you because you're not successful. They love you and they walk beside you. And I really feel that it's so important that women find that kind of friendship. And if you don't and you don't have them, let them go. Because you don't need
yes,
that.
Yes, and
let them go. If one true friend is a treasure. Isn't that what the Bible says?
Yes, yes.
Trevor, we're going to jump a song because it just fit in with what Rose had said. We're going to go to, not the next one, but the one after. And Laurie, you're going to be surprised. You're going to hear yourself.
Oh, we just heard you before you came,
Laurie. We're going to hear you again.
That was a great, that's what started our conversation.
Because they're talking about being with God through it all and Jesus being with you through it all.
And after the song, I want to tell you why I admire you both of you guys.
Okay.
You gals.
I felt so lost that it seemed every road I traveled down, there were only tears. My heart, I felt broken and all alone, just lost in an ocean of fears. Falling down like the autumn leaves that die in the cold winter night. Just when it seemed that I had given up, you held me and said it's all right. Through it all, I found you right beside me. Through it all, with darkness all around me. Thought I'd fall. Through it all, when no one else would hear me, though I'd call, you whisper, you were near me, precious Lord. You stood there right beside me. Through it all, I guess I never said I love you enough. You're the friend who never ever lets me down. I thought I'd fall. Precious Lord, you stood there right beside me through it all. And I'm so glad you're by me
You know, the beauty of music is that it touches the heart, and that's Jesus coming in so quietly and so gently. Tommy Thorell, who wrote that song, was dying of brain cancer, and that was his journey. And there's a woman that I'm thinking of right now who's in Floral Park, whose 10-year-old son yesterday was run over by a car and killed. And she's trying to, I'm sure, make sense out of it. And we know that Jesus will help us. She's at a memorial service in Our Lady of Victory for him today. And just out walking her dog and how quickly something can happen. But you know, that song and the others that you and your brother do touch hearts. Yes. And it's so beautiful.
That song was... such a grace for me, because I had gone through a very painful, long divorce, and I was devastated. I was very young. I was very devastated by it. I thought there was never going to be a life after it, you know. And God was with me through it all. And I have an experience at that time being at home while I was still married, contemplating divorce, praying to God. I spent the evening in prayer. I got on my stomach. I lied down in prostration before the Lord. I just pleaded with him. I thanked him. I praised him for everything in my life, and I pleaded with him to be my guide, to direct me, and to promise me that no matter what, he would be there with me through it all, because I was terrified to go through it. And it was around Christmas time. And I got up after the prayer, and I sat in a chair in my living room, and the doorbell rang. And when I answered the door, there was a little boy there, very young little boy, and he started singing Christmas carols. Mm-hmm. And I looked around to see if there were any parents, and there were no parents. And I couldn't understand who would allow this child out at this hour of night. It was 11 o'clock at night. And I turned around after he was done with the song to grab my pocketbook, which was behind me on the floor, and I wanted to just give him a tip. I figured that's why he's there. And I turned around, grabbed my pocketbook, and when I reopened the screen door, he was gone. Mm. And I had asked the Lord to send me an angel to speak to me, and that was my angel. And with this woman, we know, as you said, the Lord will be there with her through it all. She may not always know it, and she will have moments probably where she may not feel it. But somehow, some way, God sends us people in our life to rescue us, to save us. And that's why when I sang that song in the recording studio, I was just so filled with emotion, because I know the Lord was there with me through it all. Through the most difficult moments when I felt alone, going to court as such a young girl on a stand, you know, trying to defend my life and save my life so that I would have something for my future. It's very frightening to go through, and I'm sure there are people listening who their hearts are broken for the dreams that will never be fulfilled. But there is also a line in this song that is so dear to me. Your love, you are the one that lets me shine. And a true friend always is happy to let you shine. Sometimes people are there with us through the devastations. You know, they don't seem to mind putting their arm around you, watching you cry. But, when you do have success, when you do have victories, when you find a true love and you are happy and you have a beautiful home or you have a healthy child or everyone in your family seems to get along, when people see someone having more than them and they can rejoice for them, that is the sign of a loving heart. That is the sign of Christ within. And that is a true friend.
And Jesus truly wants to be our true friend.
Exactly.
He wants to be our best friend.
Yes, exactly.
And isn't that awesome?
Yes.
I always say our best friend's Father is the creator of the universe.
Yes.
So awesome.
Yes.
And I promised I was going to tell you, too, why I admire yous.
Okay.
And this is why I admire the both of yous. I feel that Jesus gave both of yous, too, an assignment in life. Mm-hmm. Gave you a music ministry. He gave you a counseling ministry, and you both said yes, like the Blessed Mother did, and you went out there and you're doing Jesus's work. So I admire you for that.
Thank you.
And so are you.
I was just going to say that, and we all have a ministry.
Yes.
You know, we all have our vocation. We all have a place, you know, and it's just a matter of where God wants to use your gifts. And if you give Him the glory for that, He opens more doors.
And there are times you don't even know that you're the gift.
Right.
I had a woman whose husband was physically abusing her time and time and time again. And he came into the kitchen and very upset with her. Now, she had a friend who was her prayer partner, a sister in Jesus, right? But she was in the kitchen, and this guy came up to her, and he was going to hit her. I mean, really hurt her. And she reached back, and she grabbed a carving knife. And she was really going to stab him. And at that very moment, the phone rang.
Oh.
And she put the knife down, picked up the phone. And it was her prayer partner. And she said, "Are you all right? I have you on my mind." And Jesus was telling me, "Call her. Call her now. Drop what you're doing and call her." You see how he works?
Yes, he does.
And if you have a prayer partner, you know, you're talking about women, but it's also for men, too.
Oh, sure.
But
yeah.
If you have that person who is committed to Jesus, who is your friend, hopefully it's your spouse.
Right.
I was lucky.
Right.
I had two spouses that way. But it's just so you become simpatico.
Mm-hmm.
And even when you're down and you're at your lowest level, that partner knows it and somehow gets in touch with you. And that's the way Jesus works through us.
Right.
You know, I say I hear words, that's fine. You sing songs, that's fine. But the bond that's established between those of us who are one in love with God, that's the true way that Jesus touches.
That's
he wants us all to be together.
Absolutely.
I mentioned, I wanted one other thing to the woman whose daughter committed suicide at Christmas. She received a healing on Holy Thursday.
Mm.
But as part of that healing, and she really got rid of the pain, but as part of that healing, she said, "I realize I can be in touch with my daughter who is now with God." And she started talking about that, and her own son is alive now. And I said, "What you're really talking about is the communion of saints. We are all one with God." And I believe that. And the bond that gets us all together is when we worthily receive the true presence of Jesus in the Eucharist. He nourishes us so we can get through each day.
I just have to confirm what Dr. Palmer is saying, because I was trying to say before that, as you were saying about counseling, you know, ministry, a lot of my my prescription, you want to say, not that I prescribe medicine, but you know, some of the homework assignments that we have to give in counseling, because we're trying to get a person back to what we call in clinical terms a homeostasis, back to balance no matter what the situation is. So a lot of times I will prescribe going to communion or the Blessed Sacrament, because you're receiving Jesus himself. So, you know, and if you really believe that and you really believe you're receiving him, it changes things when he comes into your body. So if you are depressed, you ask him to enter into that depression. If you are, you know, if you feel sad, you ask him to come into that sadness. You ask him to enter into that place where you're hurting. And there's one thing that I was thinking about when Lori and Dr. Palmer were speaking. Through it all, you know, Jesus did say in his word, "I turn all things together for good." So we really don't lose with Christ. We go through painful situations, but somehow he turns that around for good. So if you're walking with him and you have a relationship with him, good or bad, whatever happens will happen and turn around for our good. You have to just stay in that valley and believe that and keep walking until you reach the lily.
But there's another person involved, and it's a woman who comes our way. Mm-hmm. Some people can't go to Jesus, and they go to his mother, and she intercedes because she was the first yes. Right. And Tony, I know that's our saint of the day.
Yes.
And Trevor, can we put on the song prior to the one you just put on? Well, we'll get it.
Very low, okay, Trevor?
Yeah, I think so.
We've had a switch in plan. I originally was going to do John the Baptist, so I beg forgiveness to you, John, and we'll do you next week. We decided to
Well, you know, he's still looking for his head anyway, so... Can you imagine going through eternity looking for your head?
John, don't blame me.
I'm sorry.
The executive producer. He made me make a last-minute switch, and I was prepared.
Just don't take my head. Yeah, go ahead.
Friday, yesterday, as Lori said, was the Lady of Fatima. It was the 94th anniversary of her appearance at Fatima. And between May 13th and October 13th, 1917, Mary appeared between three children at Fatima. And she gave them three secrets. And Mary asked the children to pray the rosary for world peace, for the end of World War I that was going on at the time, and for sinners and for the conversion of Russia. The third visionary, Lucia, became a Carmelite nun and died in 2005. But the other two died in 1919, and another one died in 2 years later, I believe. And and Lucia, who became the Carmelite nun, revealed the first secret in 1927 concerning the devotions of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. The second secret was the vision of hell. And we went in depth a few weeks ago with Saint Faustina, where she gave her, when she visited hell, and gave her vision of hell and the tortures that are going on in hell. And it's a place to try to avoid, quite honestly. And Pope Paul John II, who was so involved, and who we had a celebration of his being blessed, and the Holy See Secretary of State to reveal the third secret in 2000. It spoke of a bishop in white who was shot by a group of soldiers who fired bullets and arrows into him. Many people linked this to the assassination attempt of Pope Paul John II in Peter Square, May 13th, 1981, which yesterday was the anniversary of. The Feast of Our Lady of Fatima was approved by the local bishop in 1930, and it added to the church's worldwide calendar in 2002, and Sister Lucia died in 2005 at the ripe old age of 97.
Wow.
And the message of Fatima is rather simple. Pray. Unfortunately, some people, not Sister Lucia, have distorted these revelations, making them into an event for which they are now the only reliable interpreters. They have, for example, claimed that Mary's request that the world be consecrated to her has been ignored. Sister Lucia has agreed that Pope John Paul II's public concentration in St. Peter's Square on March 25, 1984, fulfilled Mary's request. The Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith presented on June 26, 2000, documented explaining the third secret available on the Vatican website. Mary is perfectly honored when people generously imitate her response, "Let it be done to me as you say." Mary can never be seen as a rival to Jesus or to the Church's teachings authority as exercised by the College of Bishops united with the bishops of Rome. Throughout history, there have been supernatural apparitions and signs which go to the heart of human events, which, to the surprise of believers or non-believers alike, play their part in the unfolding history. These manifestations can never be can never contradict the content of faith and must therefore have their focus on the core of Christ's proclamation. The Father's love, which leads men and women to conversion, bestows the grace required to abandon oneself to Him with final devotion. This, too, is the message of Fatima, which, with the urgent call to conversion, penance, draws us to the heart of the gospel. And so, the message of Fatima became a doctrine of faith on June 26, 2000.
You know, I can't not relate Fatima to Pope John Paul II.
Absolutely.
And I came across this book, The Miracles of John Paul II. I didn't know he was a healer. Did you know that?
Yes.
I didn't know that. And the book is just loaded with people who received healings, probably through his prayers to the Blessed Mother as well. It's just unbelievable.
And didn't Fatima produce a lot of healings? Didn't people go to
yes.
Fatima
yes.
for healings and the
In
Blessed?
Fact, yesterday, one of the guest speakers at the shrine, the Blue Army Shrine, was Father Andrew Apostoli,
oh, Andrew.
Who just wrote a book on Fatima, which is supposed to be, they're hailing it as the most accurate and informative with all the details of Fatima. I forget the title of the book, but it does say Fatima on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very anxious to read it myself. And he talked about Pope John Paul and
yes.
how he revealed the third secret after he was shot because he believed that it was about him.
Mm-hmm. And he was saved.
Yes.
When not
yes.
killed on that day because
of
her.
The bullet was redirected in his body.
By Mary.
Yes, by Mary, exactly.
That's beautiful.
And isn't that
right.
beautiful?
That's right.
And Fatima has changed so many lives. And the devotion to Fatima, the people that go down there, thousands of people at a time. And it's beautiful.
Yeah. And you know, people,
I had the privilege of going there, and it is amazing. It's, you know, I love the shrines, and Lourdes is also a beautiful, beautiful shrine for healing. But Fatima had a sense of conversion. You know, it was more of like a lot of talking to people on the tours. It was a very spiritual conversion, Fatima.
Mm-hmm.
You know, really finding Christ and the Blessed Mother.
Isn't Mary such a special, special person?
She's a woman of integrity.
She's a woman of integrity.
She's a woman of integrity.
And John was right, by the way. The way to Jesus is through Mary.
Absolutely. And, no matter what your problem is, even if you have had a problem with your mother,
right.
just asking Mary for help,
mm-hmm.
It happens, and you don't understand how. I know in my own life, in trying to pray for all the problems I've had in my life, Mary was always there. I remember one time just being before her statue at St. Joseph's, and really, this is after my first wife died and I was left with three kids, and saying, Mary, I need your help. And I heard inside of me, my dear, dear friend. That's all I heard.
Yeah.
And she's not only a friend, she's our mother.
That's
you know,
right.
And she gives us what our mothers couldn't give. And Jesus, through the Eucharist, gives us what our fathers couldn't give.
True.
So we're reparented by God the Father.
Mm-hmm. Mother Teresa said it best. She said, no Mary, no Jesus.
That's right.
And I invite anyone who is listening not to be fearful of going to the Blessed Mother to ask for her intercession, because I know a lot of people who are not Catholic just feel that, you know, they need to go directly to God. And I go directly to God many, many, many times. But just as you would ask a friend, a living friend here, to, would you please pray for my son, pray for my daughter, or pray for me? There is power in prayer. What is wrong with going to someone who is living in heaven to ask
so,
for that prayer?
So awesome. So
not only
awesome.
Living in heaven, but happens to be the mother of Jesus.
Exactly.
And the queen of the universe.
That's right, exactly.
And if you think about it, her blood flowed in Jesus when he was in the womb.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. And by the way, in case you tuned in late, that was Dr. John Palmer, who just gave such a beautiful dissertation.
Yeah.
And our guests are Lori Magano and Rose Manfredi.
Manfredo,
I'm sorry, Rose. And we have an audience. We have a very small audience. Hi, audience.
And make noise. Make it sound like it's a crowd.
And this is Listen Up, Jesus is on the Air.
We would like to go into the section of the show that we usually do, which is praying for healing. We have on the table before us, Lori and Rose, the petitions that people send in. And we're going to try and get to the song on the record. I don't know. It sounds good.
You're not going to sing, are you?
It's not the one. Okay. Don't worry. We'll do it without music.
It's a good song, though.
It sounds nice.
It fits in.
Well, we're going to finish with that. This is Through It All again, isn't it? It's always good to be prepared. Now, this is the right song. Thanks, Trevor. I just wanted to mention that John Paul II has had healings of people from who had leukemia, poor immune systems, bone marrow cancer, one after the other listed in here. Even somebody had an illness that they wrote to him about, and he prayed, and it was documented at the time that he prayed for that person. They were healed. It's really just amazing to know that we can connect with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and He listens and He heals us. And although today we're talking about women of integrity and certainly focusing on Mary, you know, they can be touched. And we're just going to, just for a few moments, pray for everyone who is here. Jesus, we place every petition that's on this table before us. Place them in your hands. We pray for Liz, who I saw yesterday, who had an operation because she has Chiari disease. And she came to me with her head in a brace and with a walker. She still has dizziness and she still has heart palpitations. And we prayed and we asked. In fact, I was very bold. I said, Jesus, enough of this fooling around. You said she was going to be healed of the dizziness and you said she was going to be healed of the heart palpitation. Now get to it. Of course, I have a lot of power there, right? But he'll do whatever he wants. You know, but I've learned you got to be specific and sometimes a little bold and pray for what you really, truly want. Anyone who has all sorts of depression, depressive thoughts, feelings, that suicidal thoughts that come in. We tell them to do what I've been taught to do when I get those kinds of thoughts, is just say in your heart again and again and again, Jesus, I trust in you. And it will drive those thoughts away. That's the way you get rid of them. Just say, Jesus, I trust in you, and it drives them out.
And we pray for all those people that are suffering with cancer, that are out of work, that are possibly losing their homes, that are, as John said, depressed, and little children that are suffering from cancer. We ask that you lift them up, Jesus, and you heal them and you give them joy.
In my prayer life, I'm praying for Nathan, who has blood clots on the brain. And we ask him, he's 3 years of age. We ask Jesus, enter. And we pray for that woman whose son, 10-year-old son, was killed yesterday by an automobile that went out of control. You know, many times I ask, why do these things happen? You know, I even ask about our bodies. I said, Jesus, you made the bodies. How come you didn't make them to work forever? He said, I did. But you don't always see that they work forever. Mm-hmm. So we pray. We pray for anyone in trouble. Any petitions you have. Go ahead, Lori.
Yes, there's a woman I'd like to pray for. Her brother was murdered, and through the devastation of his mother, she committed suicide herself.
Mm.
And now this poor woman is grieving the loss of her murdered brother and her mother who committed suicide. So I just pray for her. And I pray for those people yesterday that were at the Blue Army Shrine that were there in wheelchairs and walkers, and people who were there praying for loved ones who are very ill, spiritual
problems, physical problems, emotional problems, financial problems. I just lift them all up to you, Lord.
Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. We pray for Teresa. We pray for Marita.
With lung problems.
Both with lung problems. And we ask that you lift them up into your divine mercy.
I like to pray for our youth, for them to realize that, you know, they have an identity. I pray that they will be able to stand against the societal pressures of the media and all of the messages that it's portraying to our youth and who they need to be.
And we pray for our guests today, and that you allow them to continue doing the good work that they're doing and touching people's hearts through song and through counseling. And we pray for our audience who came and visited us today. Thank you so much.
And I think, Trevor, we're going to go to the last song because it just kind of summarizes everything we talked about.
Lately, I notice my worries too near. I look ahead and I'm frozen with fear. I search my past, all I see is regret, and my mind gets twisted. Over in circles, my doubts start to turn, helplessly watching my hopes as they burn, looking for some guarantee, when my only prayer should be, give me just enough grace, Lord, today. Give me strength for what's coming my way.
Let me stay in the moment where I will find my needs will be met one day.
Just enough grace for today, trusting God to bring courage my way.
Our daily bread will keep us fed with just enough grace for today.
Couples only, gate to the right, please.
John, you have an appearance you're making Friday. Why don't you tell us quickly where you're going to be Friday night?
I'm not going to be anywhere Friday night.
Aren't you going to be at
St. Aidan's? The end of the month.
Oh, it's the end of the month? Okay, sorry. I'll be at Franklin Square Street Fair tomorrow.
We thank you for listening. And send your petitions to us at 1240.
At AOL.com.
To
LISTENUP 1240 at AOL.com.
Lori and Rose, thank you.
Thank you. God bless you.
Thank you.
Let Jesus lead you.
He has it all in control. If you want peace in your soul. My needs will be met one day.